able to preach the word this morning. We're going to start in Psalm 103 and just start with the first few verses there. It's an amazing thing to be able to be a dad or a parent in general, but my experience is being a dad. It's an amazing thing, and I'm thankful that God, the Lord's allowed me to live these years, and I don't deserve the least of his mercies. I don't deserve to see another day, and yet he's allowed me not only to see the days that I have, but also to see children, and it's a great blessing.
Amen.
And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be a dad. And we're going to start here in Psalm 103 and develop this thought here this morning and look at several different passages. But Psalm 103, I'll read those first five verses there. It says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we do thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to know you, to be able to speak with you. Lord, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would bind the enemy in this time. We pray that you would give liberty during these few minutes that we have together to be able to open your word and to be able to look into it. We pray that you would challenge us to a closer walk with you, Lord. I pray that you'd teach us from your word. Lord, we do thank you for all the fathers that are here this morning. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, that you've given to be parents, Lord. And Father, we pray now that you would teach us, Lord, from this thought, Lord, that you desire to be father to us, and that you have this love for us. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you care for us, that you watch over us. And Lord, we pray now that you bless this service, and we commit it now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I actually have notes this morning, which is good, I think. Psalm 103 here: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We always have a lot to be thankful for. But even when it seems like all is lost, we can praise God for who he is. For who he is. Pastor made reference this morning in Sunday school about when the ship starts shaking and it seems like we're going down, what do? Cry like a baby.
Yeah,
that's what happens a lot of times. But we have a God who we can praise and worship through those dark times, through those hard times. And this is a thought that the Lord's put on my heart. What are we looking at this morning? It's so easy for us to look at the circumstances, but it's important for us to remember the goodness of God over the years and bringing us up to this day. I do think about Job and how he went through those hard times. And when he went through those hard times, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He told his wife, I think it was, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Whether we have much or have little, we have a God that we could praise and a God who loves us and who cares for us. Amen. One thing that I've learned about being a dad is a lot of times you do things that the kids don't understand. And sometimes it's some hard things that the kids don't understand, and their attention span's a little bit shorter. And dad sometimes is working through things over the course of days or weeks or years, and they may not appreciate that. But if they see that dad loves them, and if they love dad, even though they may not understand all what dad's doing, if they just love him when they can't understand all what's going on in the bigger picture necessarily, that means a lot to dad.
Yeah.
And can I say, I believe that God, when we're going through those hard times, we may not be able to see the whole picture of what God's doing, but he has a plan. Yeah. My plan may not always be the best, but God's plan is always the best. And we have a God that we can love and we can trust, and we can just love on him and worship him even when we don't understand all the details. Peter, after the years he had spent with Christ, all the years he had spent with Christ, when the time of the trial came, Peter came to see Christ and to watch what would happen in Matthew 26. If you turn over there, Matthew 26, look at what Peter came to do in Matthew 26. as that trial went on. Notice this. Matthew 26 and verse 58. I'll look at verse 57 first. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. So they laid hold on Jesus. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace. He was curious, but notice what he was looking for here. And went in and sat with the servants to see the end. That's what he was looking for. You see, Peter had been around a little while. Peter knew some things. Mm-hmm. He knew how the politics worked in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He knew what these Pharisees would do. He knew how corrupt the government was.
Yeah.
He knew some things. And he knew that Jesus didn't have a chance. So he went there and he went to go see the end. Peter thought he understood what was happening, and he was afraid. In fact, he denied Christ 3 times that night because he was afraid for himself. He thought he understood what was going to happen, but he didn't understand. He thought he was going to see the end, but it wasn't the end. It was the beginning. It was the beginning of the church age. Jesus was going to raise from the dead. He was going to die for our sins, but he was going to kind of rise again from the dead. And he had a purpose and a plan in all that he was doing. But often we'll look at what's happening in our lives and we'll get discouraged. Hey, the bill's coming due at the end of the month. How's that going to work out? My baby's sick. What am I going to do? There's conflict in my marriage. I don't know how to be able to understand her. She doesn't seem to be able to understand me. How are we going to make sense of this? And we get discouraged over many different things in life. But we need to look to God and know that whatever the circumstance is, God has a purpose and a plan through that circumstance.
Amen. Yes.
I remember Leanne and I would talk about sometimes in our family, it's hard to keep things organized, right? It's hard to make things work from day to day and actually function and be right. And sometimes it seems like it's impossible. And I'll look at her and say, yeah, it seems like it's impossible. But we have a God.
Yeah.
And there must be a right way. It must be possible. We have a God that knows what we can do in the right way for our family right now, moving forward, when it seems impossible. I don't share this testimony very often, but when God showed me that Leanna was the one for me, it was on a day that I'd been through a journey in life. I'm not going to get into all the details of it. God allowed me by His grace to go to the wedding altar pure. But I had been through a lot of searching and praying and seeking to find the right person to spend my life with.
Amen.
And I remember that day when I had prayed. And things had happened. And I thought, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I remember I was out at an old railroad track. And I remember it was kind of a rainy, cloudy day. And I remember praying. And I was just sitting in the car and saying, God, I just don't know. And some things had happened that day. And I said, God, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. But I remembered this. I remember, God, I know that You're a faithful God. You're a holy God. And I know that whatever You're doing, You do it well. Mm-hmm. And I remember that day. I remember getting out of the car. It was kind of cloudy, a little bit rainy. But I remember just singing to God. Saying, our God is an awesome God. I don't know if you sing that song around here or not. But I remember singing, how great Thou art. And I just began to praise God. And I said, God, I don't know what Your plans are for me. I don't know what You're doing. But God, I know that You're worthy of praise. And I just praised God when I didn't have any clue what I was supposed to do. And on that day, God, during that time of worship and during that time of praise, He brought to my heart, my mind, Leanna. It said, she's the one for you. We've never been on a date before. She might not be too excited about it, but she's the one for you. And I say, sure. God, I just began praying about it. And God just showed me that. And I knew.
Amen.
I promise it's the truth. The clouds parted that day. The sun came out. It was good. It's good to worship when you don't know what to do. Just worship God. You say, but I don't know. I don't know how to piece all the pieces together here. It's okay. Just worship Him anyway. I don't know if it's all going to work out. It doesn't matter. Worship until it doesn't matter. Just worship God. He's worthy. You might not know, but He does. See, Peter went to go see the end, but in Jeremiah we're promised this: I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's already thought it out. He already knows the end from the beginning. He's not worried about your future. He knows, and He cares. You know, even John the Baptist, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one, or should we look for another? He struggled in that dark time. And Jesus told him all the great things that were happening. And He said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Oh, just worship God anyway. Real worship allows us to see through real tough circumstances with undying hope.
Yeah.
Real worship. Peter thought he had the situation pretty well figured out. He didn't.
No.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have it figured out. We think we have the situation figured out. We think it's hopeless sometimes. We don't have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Look, God knows His plans for us, and we can worship Him through those tough times. We need to quit stressing about circumstances we don't understand and worship God who does understand those circumstances. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It shall. God's word is going to do what He's intended to do. God's going to finish the work that He began. And we can trust Him for that. We can know that His work is perfect. He's a God of truth and without iniquity. We can worship Him because He's a holy God.
Amen.
And there's going to be times when it gets dark. I mean, just imagine what Peter must have been thinking that night as they took Jesus out of the garden. They dragged Him out of the garden. They brought Him into the court in the middle of the night. And as He stood out there, how discouraged He must have felt. And yet God had a plan through that circumstance what needed to happen. I could never be redeemed if Christ didn't die.
Yes.
But it would have been discouraging to witness that, and it would have been hard for Him to understand. We need to look through it and trust God. 1 Samuel 27. Hannah prayed for a child. She prayed and she pleaded with God for a child for years. It says from year to year, this went on. She prayed and she asked for a child. And 1 Samuel chapter 1 speaks a lot about this struggle that she had. And when she prayed, Eli heard her praying. And let me see. Now let's look at verse 12. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. So she spake in her heart, and pastor often makes reference to this passage of scripture that these were words that she spoke in her heart. And her heart speaks words. God knows those words. Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him. He said, Go in peace. He said, God's going to grant you this petition. He saw that she had this prayer and that she could go in peace, that God was going to answer her prayer. And God did answer her prayer. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She knew that God was going to come through on this. She knew it. And she had courage and confidence that way. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. There was no child yet, but she worshiped. Amen. She didn't see the child yet, but she worshiped before the Lord. And returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Verse 24, when she weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. She said, I prayed, God answered. I knew he would. This is not a coincidence. It was for this child that I prayed, not just some child. Amen. This child is the one I prayed for. God answered my prayer for this child. And so she saw the blessing, but she saw that the one who had given that blessing was much greater than the blessing itself.
Yeah.
She saw the one that had given the blessing, which was much greater than the blessing itself. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped him there. Who? Eli worshipped God when he saw the faith of Hannah. He worshipped God. Because he saw the faith of Hannah, and she said, I'm going to lend him to the Lord. What does that even mean? Didn't God give him? Wasn't he in the hands of God all along? I believe it means she had hope in the resurrection. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall stand with him in that day.
Amen.
She knew she would see him again. And she said, I'm going to give him back to the Lord, because someday, by and by, I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see him again. She knew that the Creator that had given this child was faithful, and that she would see him again. And she lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. Beyond her life, he continued to live.
Amen.
And someday she would see him again.
Mm-hmm.
She had faith in her Creator. She had faith in her God. Hannah valued the blesser far above the blessing. And that's what we need to do. David, too, remember, he longed and prayed, Oh, that one would give me water from the well that is at Bethlehem at the gate. And those three men broke through and risked their lives. He got that water and he said, Oh, thanks, guys, and drank it. No, he didn't. He poured it out before the Lord. You know what he was doing? He said, God, you see this? You see this, God? These men went in the jeopardy of their lives. He wouldn't drink it. We'd be better to just worship God than try to long for that water by the gate or long for a child. We ought to just worship God because he's worthy. That's what we ought to do. And God will show himself faithful and good and just. Just worship God. He's worthy.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy of a child. I'm not worthy of any of the goodness of God, but he's been gracious. He's been good to me. And look, we all have a lot to be thankful for.
That's great.
But when it gets dark and it seems like we don't have anything left or that everything's been lost, just remember God is faithful and he's been gracious and he will be gracious and he's worthy of praise.
Luke chapter 8.
I'm going to start in verse 40. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Verse 41, Luke 8, 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Here's a ruler of the synagogue. You know, there was a lot of prestige about being a ruler of the synagogue. There was a lot of social pressure there. And there was a lot of disdain for this man of Nazareth that had just been going around doing miracles. There was a lot of arguments that took place in the synagogue. And here's this man, Jairus. He was among the rulers there. He was somebody. And he came to Jesus and he fell down at his feet and began to worship Jesus. His daughter was sick. He needed help. And he just worshiped him. He recognized that Jesus was worthy regardless. And he fell down and he worshiped at the feet of Christ. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter. Isn't that interesting how it's very almost redundant there? One only daughter is all he had. About 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Notice this statement here. She lay a dying. She was dying. She was only 12. I think about how David cried and was overwhelmed by the death of his son Absalom. He said, he kept asking, is the young man Absalom safe? He saw the great potential of the life of his son Absalom, yeah, and that it was cut short, yeah, because of his sin. Mm-hmm. And because of David's own sin, really, he was paying for his own sins in a sense, although Absalom made his own decisions. David said, is the young man Absalom safe? And he cried, oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Here, this man, Jairus, he's burdened for his daughter. He's burdened for his daughter. And she lay a dying. You know, Pastor Asquith has challenged me more than any other pastor that I've been under over the years to look at every word of Scripture and try to understand every word of Scripture. If it has a different suffix, there's a reason for that. If it has a different word for some reason, there's a reason for that. And so when you come to this scripture, it says she lay a dying. It doesn't say she lay dying. Mm-hmm. She lay a dying. Mm. What does that mean? And so I went to look this up. How do you look that up? Look up the word a. I don't know. How do I look this up? Why does it say a dying? Why does it say this? And so Pastor Asquith, again, he recommends the Oxford English Dictionary and actually helped me to get access to that. And so I looked it up. And boy, you should see all the entries for up. There is a lot going on. But this structure here, it's in front of a verb form. A lay a dying. And I found actually there are illustrations given, Bible illustrations given in the Oxford English Dictionary, many other illustrations too. But one of the illustrations that's given, just hold your place here and we'll come back to it. But look over at 1 Peter 3:20. This is an illustration. This is a quote given in the OED. This is 1 Peter 3:20. Uh, So I'll just read this one verse here, although it's in the middle of a larger sentence, but which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. This is given as a quotation in the OED. And it says, here's an example of how this word is used to show a process. While the ark was preparing. It's also used as an intensifier. It breaks up the flow of the sentence and allows you to have a little bit more time to think on what's about to be said. You could say, while the ark was being prepared. If we go back to Luke chapter 8, where it says she lay a dying, you could say she lay in the process of dying. This is an intensifier that shows a process taking place.
Good.
It's something that's standing out and showing us, hey, this is a process taking place. She was dying. She was in the process of dying. She was only 12 years old. She was in the process of dying. He watched it happen for a while. This was going on. He saw. He came to Jesus. And he besought him. And said, my child, she lay a dying. The people were thronging Christ. Jairus was burdened for his daughter. And so, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. It sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And Pastor expounded on this this morning as well about he bare in his own body our sicknesses as the high priest. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's over. I heard one preacher say, this sounds like your typical fundamental independent Baptist preacher. Don't worry about it. It's over. Just let it go. Nothing you can do about it. Just leave him alone. And here's the idea. Don't bother worshiping God now. Don't bother with Jesus anymore. What you're trying to do, it's not going to work out. Your ulterior motive for worshiping, it's not working out. So just let him go. Just don't trouble him anymore. Don't be a trouble to him anymore. It's not going to work anyway. Well, we know the rest of the passage, of course, and Jesus did do something about that. But what if he didn't? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And if not, be it known, we will not bow down or worship. Well, if not, that's okay. I'm going to worship God, not you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. So he said, don't trouble him. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, for she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Jesus came through. But first, Jairus worshipped. First, Jairus put himself in a position of humility and worshipped the Lord. I believe it honors the Lord when we worship him. I have a little testimony to tell you about something that happened in our home just these last few days. Our house has been a mess. Now, most of you will probably at some point see a picture of our house when it's done. It will look real nice. That's not how we live in it. Sam was telling me about one of John Mark's friends that says to him, I didn't know you actually do like actually make stuff look nice, because she'd always seen stuff like halfway, right? That's our life. So when the kids see our house, they're a little bit confused sometimes. And we tore apart first our dining room, and we kind of closed off the kitchen, but we have the open concept going on now. So what that means is once we left the living room and went into the kitchen, or left the dining room and went into the kitchen and living room, we basically had it all open. And it was very hard to contain the dust. And so it just was complicated. So Susanna says the other day, she says, you know, these rooms have been kind of weird lately. These rooms have been kind of weird lately. Why? Because she doesn't know what's going on. Why is Dad ripping down the walls? And the kids love it too. I mean, the one day we started demoing the living room, they were all set. They all got, I'm like, where's the flat bars? Every one of them's got a flat bar over there ripping trim off the wall, ripping drywall. I mean, we were having good times. We all had nice, you know, N95 respirators and stuff. So, we're having a good time. Kelly was there too. He's like, man, these kids are crazy. So, but we were having a good time ripping it all apart. But she says, it's kind of weird lately. So then she said something really funny the other day. I was demoing the bathroom, but I'm moving the door over so that the door can swing out and make more room in the bathroom. And I rearranged some things. So I cut the hole out for the new door before I took the old door out. And so I cut the new door, and I'm going to rearrange everything in the bathroom, but the new door was basically right in front of the commode. And so so you open it up, and there's the, yeah. So and the door's over here, but Sue comes over and says, when you close the door, they can still see you. And I'm like, that's great, because she sees half the process, and she says, because she's looking at the door here and she's looking at the big opening here. She says, when you close the door, they can still see you. I thought it was great. But here's what Sue did that just absolutely, I don't think I'll ever forget this. This was awesome. The one night Sue was sick, and it went through the church a little bit, but it went through our family. A few of us were sick. Abigail started it. We were all getting sick one at a time. It'd be like 2 days and another person would get sick, and then 2 days another person would get sick. Well, it was Sue's turn. She lost it. And then she lost it again. And it's like 1:30 in the morning. And I'm working in the kitchen still because I'm trying to get us, we'd been washing dishes in the bathroom for a few days. So anyway, it was all mixed up. So I was trying to put the disposal in, but we have an undermount sink, and I found out that I roughed the drain in the wall about 2 inches too high, and it's late, and I'm thinking, oh man, so I have to redo the drain, and it's the middle of the night, and so finally, it's 1:30 in the morning, Sue's lost it a couple times, she hasn't been able to sleep, but I get the faucet working, I turn it on, and the water comes out, and Sue walks out into the kitchen, and says, wow, Daddy! The faucet's working. Good job, Daddy. She was sick. She was hurting. But she came out and said, good job, Daddy. You know, that blessed my heart that night. That meant a lot to me.
Amen.
Yeah.
She didn't understand a lot of the stuff, what was going on, a lot of weird things going on. But she saw, hey, the faucet's working, Daddy. Good job, Daddy. I like that.
Amen.
Means a lot to me as a dad.
Yeah.
I believe it blesses God when there's some things that are hard to understand, but he's done maybe just something for you and say, hey, God, thank you.
Yeah.
You've been good to me. One more passage. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll be honest, this is where my message started, and I went backwards from here. But Hebrews chapter 11. And just one verse, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, Oh, that old deceiver. Mm-hmm. Changed by God. Mm-hmm. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When he was a dying. I've been around some people when they're dying. They don't do a lot of blessing usually.
Yeah.
A lot of angry people when they're dying. When you're hurting. Jacob, he was a dying. He was hurting. He was dying. But he blessed the sons of Joseph. One of those sons was named Manasseh, meaning, God hath made me forget all my father's house. Joseph had been a stranger in a strange land. God blessed him there. Ephraim means God's blessed me in a strange land. God's made me fruitful, that is, in a strange land. And when Jacob blessed both those sons when Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph, he did something that the Bible says displeased Joseph or that he was upset. He didn't like it. He brought the eldest to the right hand of Jacob and the younger to the left hand. And when he brought the two sons, Jacob crossed his hands. Yeah. To bless wrong. Backwards. And he says, not so. No, the older should be blessed before the younger. You should put your right hand on the older's head. That's not how Jacob was doing things that day. He was doing things backwards. Sometimes dad's going to do things that you just don't understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes God's going to do things that you just don't understand.
That's right.
But Jacob knew what it was to be blessed by God when he didn't deserve it. I want to leave you with this thought, and I hope that you'll meditate on it and think about it and just see what God would do with it in your heart. By faith, Joseph, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When he was a dying, he blessed. Feel like you're dying sometimes? Feel like it's all falling apart sometimes? Just worship God.
Yeah.
Bless anyway.
That's good.
God's going to do some things you don't understand. But he's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And we ought to worship. Hey, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said that, and I believe he meant it. We ought to have that same mindset. We ought to have that same hope in our worship toward God. Let's bless him. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Let's bless the Lord. Hey, there's going to be good times. I feel very blessed right now. But I know that there will be times when it's going to get rough. There will be times when there will be darkness. Worship God through whatever happens. The storms come, worship God.
Yeah.
The hardships come, worship God. When you lay a dying, worship God. He's worthy. Because of who he is, we ought to worship him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to be able to open your word together with the church this morning. I thank you for allowing me the privilege to be able to be a dad. But I thank you for the great privilege to be a son of God, to be purchased and redeemed by you. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious and good God, worthy of all of our worship and much more. But Father, help us to see you high and lifted up and glorified in our hearts through whatever circumstances. Now, Father, we pray that you use this message to strengthen and direct us in the days ahead. And we ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.